Oh my god, that is such a great track. That is my favourite Waste of Time. I'm singing along in the studio. That is a brilliant track. And I'm joined on the line by the singer-songwriter and creator of that track. It's Owen Paul. He's got a brand new release out called This Christmas, which is his first festive song. And the track comes off the back of his recent chart success with Sleeping on the Same Pillow. So good morning, Owen Paul. How are you doing?
Good morning to you, Michelle. I could hear you singing along, by the way.
You can't help it.
Very well you did too.
Thank you very much. It's a great song. We'll start off with that track, actually, and it's great you're still happy to talk about it. Such an amazing track. It was such a big hit at the time.
Well, basically, I mean, I'd recorded a couple of singles before Favourite Waste of Time, but even in the studio when we did, we all knew it was going to be big. And I mean, obviously, you can't be 100% sure, but everyone was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is going to be a smash. And then it became a bit of a double-edged sword for me because obviously it was such a poppy record and happy and summery and all that. And I was very much like, I really was a rock act. It took me down, you know, being a pop pin-up idol and, being in smash hit magazines and Top of the Pop and all that. So it kind of ruined my rock career for a while, which was a bit of a shame, but hell.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I mean, it's from 19... I can't believe it's 1986.
Indeed.
It still sounds really fresh. I mean, do you still perform the track?
Yes. We do an awful lot of shows, like the retro festivals and the like.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the same bill as Tony Hadley or Nick Kershaw or Lamalfi.
Yeah.
Nick Hayward as well. And the song goes down an absolute storm. I only have to sing the opening line and then the audience sing the rest. It's a brilliant thing.
When you're writing, how do you actually start the songwriting process? Would you play guitar or piano, or do you get melodies in your head? How does it work for you?
It's definitely in my head version. Basically what happens is that, and it's quite strange, I don't sit around with a guitar or piano and then jam about, see if something's nice.
Mm.
I generally speak and hear pretty much the whole thing, including the words and everything, in my head in one go.
Wow.
So then becomes a process of trying to figure out what it was I heard in my head. So then I'll sit with a guitar and I'll go, okay, it's not that. Oh, hang on, it's that. And then I go, and I keep going, and that becomes the process for me, trying to replicate what I heard. Because I hear it in its entirety. I much hear the production and the violins, say, or whatever the instrumentation is going to be and all that. So it's quite a difficult process. It's not like just making it up as you go along, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would say they get the melody and then they might get something on the piano. So I've not heard somebody say that before, actually.
Well, I've got one song called Here's Looking at You, right?
Yeah.
And I virtually wrote that in my head in the length of time that the song is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, from start to finish, I knew every word, every chord, everything in one go. So in effect, it took 3:45 to write.
Blimey.
It's one of the best songs I've ever written.
Yeah. Do you write better when you're in a happy mood or sad mood, or it doesn't really matter to you?
I think, I suppose, like some of my musical heroes, say something like Todd Rundgren or David Bowie, I think, generally speaking, the sadder you are or the more difficult times are or stuff, you tend to get more creative.
Mm.
It's not so easy to write a happy song, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I'm the same. I'm what you would call a tortured artist.
Yeah, I speak to many.
Yes.
You've worked, I mean, you've done some incredible stuff. I mean, you've done theatre, you've been on Absolute Radio, and you also toured with Phil Collins as well.
I did. I got very lucky, actually. Mike Rutherford from Genesis and Mike and the Mechanics, he heard some of my stuff in a recording studio and asked who had done the arrangements on it and the vocals and stuff. And I said that it was me, and he asked me to make a new album with Mike and the Mechanics.
Mm.
And organise the backing vocals and stuff. And basically how Mike and the Mechanics work is that they create the song and then they send it out to different people to do stuff, whatever they want, in effect. And then they choose and cherry pick the bits they like and the bits they don't and so on. And then off the back of it, the album was very successful around 2002.
Mm.
And then he said, I got another call from Mike, and he said, the album's done very well. We're going to go out and tour with Phil Collins. We're going to be the special guest. Would you like to be in the Mechanics? I was like, I'm packing my bags, Mike.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I'm on my way.
Oh, wow.
It was a wonderful experience. We went all around the world playing football. As you can imagine, Mike and the Mechanics are not a small act.
Yeah.
So, and not as Phil Collins. It was not travelling in a transit van. Let's put it that way.
Oh, luxury all the way. How's 2020 been for you? Because for most musicians, it's been an absolute disaster. A lot of people are doing songwriting, but obviously all the gigs have just disappeared.
Yeah, I haven't done a single show since, I think, March the 7th.
Mm.
And there's no sign of it coming back in the near future. I think it's going to be well into the next summer by the time we can get shows back on. Obviously, a lot of promoters are still keeping in touch, because normally, in any given year, as I said earlier on, I'd be doing retro festivals, and then I've got a new album coming, so I'll go out and play some of that all around the country. But it's, you know, it swings and roundabouts. In effect, I've done, like you mentioned, I've done much more recording.
Yeah.
I've got a brand new album coming out in the new year, which is pretty much finished, which would probably not be the case if I'd been doing so many live. So, it's, you know, there's pros and cons in it.
Mm. And is this the album, I was just going to say, is this the Americana country album?
It is. It's a very laid-back folk country thing, and it might sound like not my usual thing, but in reality, it's the way I've always heard the song, you know. Obviously, when in the 80s, say, I'd hear the song as a folky type song, because I'm a Scot and I'm a Celt, and I've been surrounded by folk music and country music all my life, and I always heard them in that style in my head. And then obviously when you're 22, 23, you turn them into a pop record, right? Or later on, I've even done dance tracks, and this time round, you know, we just said, you know what, let's just do them exactly as you hear them, and let's do them as a... And then they're pretty much turned out really well, probably the best records I've ever made.
And the industry is completely different, isn't it? If you go back to when you released in 1986,
yeah.
Now more control over your music, and you can put it out on so many different platforms and get it out to the audience that you know love your music.
Very, very much so. That, I mean, this has been a revolution in that sense, because of Facebook and Twitter and, you know, and iTunes and Instagram and such, is that everyone can get access to you. So, I mean, much that I've been forgotten somewhat, you know, because of, you know, I've not been around much since the 80s and so on. But the audience reaction of the, you know, people want new music, and they want, you know, what you would call heritage acts like me, or, you know, Tony Hadley, or, I mean, Nick Kershaw's got a brilliant album out now. And if it wasn't for Facebook or Twitter, no one would even know it was out, because it doesn't get national radio play in the way that they used to, because obviously they're not seen as, you know, now acts as such. But they're still making great records, and it's been a brilliant thing for me too. It's really, really brilliant.
Yeah. I always say that's why, you know, if you can, with unsigned acts or signed acts, it's always great, just spend that 99 pence, because then it means people can continue, because it's an expensive business, recording and getting people in, isn't it?
Absolutely, you're right. Obviously, you know, the streaming thing is hurting us a lot as well, because you virtually make nothing out of that.
Yeah.
But a download, which is, you know, anything between 69 pence and 99p, I mean, it's like a third of a cappuccino. Come on, guys.
Yes. Exactly. That's what I say every time. Now, the track you've had recently had some chart success with, Sleeping on the Same Pillow. Tell us about that track.
Well, basically, it's a track. It's on the new album, and it's a very, very country song. And originally, it wasn't a duet. But when I, you know, reread the lyric, it was a tale of two people or a couple of any kind that are apart but want to be together again.
Yeah.
And then Lynn, who's my main backing vocalist and my manager, actually, I said to her, why don't you try and sing the other part? And she sang it absolutely beautifully. And then we got a number one in a thing called the Heritage Chart, surrounded by fantastic acts like Johnny Hates Jazz or Paul Young or Toya or Paul Simon even. And I got a number one out of it, so I'm absolutely thrilled.
Now we're going to move on, because we're going to hear the track coming up in a while. So you've written this your first ever Christmas track, which is called This Christmas. What made you want to write? And it's a busy time of year for singles coming out. So what made you want to write This Christmas?
I had no intention, nor have I ever thought of doing a Christmas song. I've never had one in my head or anything. And Lynn, my manager that I mentioned earlier, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, said, don't you have a Christmas thing? Wouldn't it be good to have a Christmas song? And I said, what? No, I don't. And then about 2 hours later, I actually, you know, like I was telling you before about the process, I had the whole thing in my head. And I said, Len, let's get the studio up. And we recorded it in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's, again, because of technology, you can do things much quicker, and you can get it online, and it's now available on iTunes and Amazon and Spotify and all the rest.
Yep.
And I'm absolutely delighted with it.
Now we're going to end the interview. This is This Christmas by Owen Paul. And if you want to find out more, it's all the W's, theowenpaul.com. And then you'll be able to find all your social media, Twitter and your Facebook, Instagram, because you're everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Lovely to chat to you.
Really Thank lovely you, Michelle. To chat to
you. You're welcome. And here is Owen Paul. And this is a brand new release, which is called This Christmas. Have a great day. Take care.
You too.
Cheers. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
You are my evergreen, best thing I've ever seen. Your love is hot to touch. Oh, how it burns so much. Let's take ourselves to anywhere, just you and me, without a care. You and me, this Christmas is what I want.